Father's Day. Title of sermon this morning, What Kind of Gifts Are You Giving Your Children? We're going to be looking at a few scriptures. Actually, there are several, but focusing primarily on Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13. In Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13, Jesus said, If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will you give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? We know that God blesses us. He gives us, blesses us beyond our imagination. But today being Father's Day, the day that's been set aside to honor our fathers, we know that we ought to honor our fathers every day, not just on Father's Day. God's Word, the Bible tells us to do that. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 12, the Bible says, Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Again, in Deuteronomy 5:16, it says, Honor thy father and mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may be go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's obviously pretty important, since the Bible repeats this commandment six more times over in the New Testament. It's found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 4, Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, Mark chapter 7, verse 10, Mark chapter 7, verse 19, and Luke 18 and 20. And finally, Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So, is it important for us to honor our fathers? Obviously it is. God put it in there several times in His Word, so we know we are to honor our fathers because that's God's commandment to us. As we think about our children honoring us as fathers, we need also to think about and be reminded that we as fathers have a responsibility to live our lives in such a way that we are honorable. You know, it's hard to honor somebody that's not honorable, isn't it? So we need to live our lives in such a way that we're honorable. We need to ask ourselves then, what kind of gifts am I giving to my children? Too many fathers refuse to take any responsibility for their children. Nowadays, it's really widespread. Does this really matter that fathers don't take responsibility for their own children? Well, according to a study published in June of last year, 2024, that I looked at, the United States has the highest rate of children in single-parent households of any nation in the world. There are over 18 million fatherless children in the U.S. This don't just consider the absence of the biological father, by the way. When we're talking about fatherless children, they are those statistics are based on those that don't have a biological father, a stepfather, or an adoptive father in the home. So the absence of the biological father would be much higher yet. Fathers are absent from approximately 80% of single parent homes. Fatherless families are 4 times more likely to live in poverty than that of married couple families. Fatherless children are more likely to abuse drugs and show signs of delinquent behavior. Children from single parent families are twice as likely to suffer from mental health problems as those living with married parents. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children come from fatherless homes. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 85% of children who exhibit behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated institutions come from a single-parent home. In a study of 56 school shootings, only 18% were raised in a stable home with both biological parents. 82% grew up in either an unstable family environment or grew up without both biological parents together. Children living absent from their father are 2 to 3 times more likely to be expelled or suspended at some time. Girls who are close to their father are 75% less likely to have a teen birth. Girls whose father left the home before they were 5 years old were 8 times more likely to become pregnant as adolescents. Children who are close to their fathers, children as a whole now, who are close to their fathers, are 80% less likely to spend time in jail. When children have an actively involved father, they are 33% less likely to drop out of school and 43% more likely to make A's. And realize most of these families where the father's present are not Christian homes. We're not talking about this. This was not just based on homes where there was a Christian father present. This was based on homes where there was a father, period, whether it was a stepfather, an adoptive father, or a biological father. So does it really matter if the father's present? Kind of think it does, don't you? And beyond that, it matters a lot more about what kind of father that is. Whether it's a godly father, a Christ follower, or not. Makes a lot of difference in that child and that child's upbringing. A lot of fathers try to do all they can to give their children any and everything they want, materially. Some fathers think they can, the way they show children that they love them is to buy whatever they want, whenever they want it. You know, the child wants something, they get it. They think that will buy their love. But it don't work that way. They throw money at them because they don't want to spend time with them a lot of times. That's not the way it needs to be done. The most important thing we can give our children, the most important thing that we as fathers can give our children is a godly, Christ-like example. To live that godly, Christ-like example before them. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It's our responsibility to bring our children up, teaching them the ways of God. And not just in word, but most importantly in deed. The things we do. As my mom always said, and I've mentioned it many times over, actions speak louder than words. The way we act, the things we do, are the most effective ways that we teach our children. So as we teach them about Christ, as we live that godly Christ-like example before them, we will show them how to live for Christ outside the church. Too many people put on their Christianity like putting their suit on Sunday morning, and they come to church and they act all godly and they love God so much and they just praise Him and thankful for all He's done for them. And when they leave the church, they leave their Christianity at church. And then all week, they live for themselves or for the devil the rest of the week. We need to show our children outside of church. I was fortunate to be raised in a family where I was taught, not just while we were at church, but it was a lifestyle. And that's the way it needs to be, and that's the way it's got to be if we're going to bring our children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord like the Bible asks us to do. So as we do that, if we live that life outside the church, not just when we're at church, and then we're going to teach them also and show them how to be faithful to the church. Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, verse 19 through 25, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We certainly see that day approaching when the Lord's coming back. It's obvious. And we're encouraged there to be faithful to the church. A lot of people, I get condemned for this, and people say, well, you ain't got to go to church to be a Christian, and I couldn't agree with you more. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. You ought not to be coming to church because you have to go to church. You ought to be coming to church because you love the Lord, because that's what He's told you to do. You know, Jesus died on the cross to pay our sin debt. He suffered much before He went to the cross. And if He loves us enough that He was willing to do that, we ought to love Him enough to do something for Him. And when He tells us not to forsake our assembling together, then we need to do that. We need to come together. We need to come together to worship together, to study God's Word together, to have fellowship one with another, to encourage one another, to pray with one another and pray for one another, to rejoice with one another. And we ought to, rather than looking for excuses not to be involved and not to come to the church, we ought to be looking for more reasons to come and be involved in the church. But that's, sadly, that is really going away. There's a lot less people that are encouraged, that are really interested in being involved and being faithful to the church. That's one of the ways that we bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord that the Bible tells us to do, is we show them how to be faithful to the church by doing that, by taking them, by being with them, not by sending them or maybe letting them go if they want to. Or, you know, when I was growing up, it wasn't an option. And in my opinion, it's still not an option. It wasn't an option with my children. It wasn't an option with me when I was a child. That was just something, that was a question that my parents never, ever asked me. Yet, do you want to go to church? If church was being had, the MacVeigh family was going to be there. I mean, that was, we just knew that. We didn't have to wait to find out, well, Mama, are we going to church? Daddy, are we going to church? Or, Mama, I don't want to go to church. You know? That was never an option, never a question about whether or not we were going to be in church. And I can tell you, growing up, I didn't always appreciate that. There's a lot of times I'd like been somewhere else doing something else. But it's kind of like all those whoopings I got, you know, that I didn't really appreciate back then. Never got one that I really enjoyed. And I never got one I appreciated then. I never got one I didn't deserve. And I didn't get a lot of the ones that I did deserve. But now I am thankful for every one of them that I got. Now I'm thankful that my parents brought me up that way and taught me the importance of being involved in God's work and being involved in the church. So that's the way we bring them, one of the ways that we bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Another way is we show them how to serve others for Christ's sake. Another thing that's slipping away from us is there are too many people today, too many of our children are being taught to live selfishly. You know, take care of number one. Put your needs and your desires ahead of the needs of others. And how they learn that? They learn that by watching parents and seeing what they do. Seeing what motivates them and what makes them do what they do. And so it's shameful that today, many times I've been in the hospitals and go in the hospital waiting room, and there's a family that I know personally is involved, even heavily involved in a church, and they've got a loved one that's having major surgery. And there the family sits in the waiting room, and there's nobody from the church there. A lot of times there's not even a pastor there with them. And that ought not to be, you know. You say, well, I just got so much to do, I don't have time. But when you have a need, you will hope that somebody cares enough about you to lay down their selfishness and check on you. And so we need to be doing that, and we need to be teaching our children that more and more, because it's becoming way, way too often that the church is just not doing what the church needs to be doing. We're not ministering to our own people, you know. We have a death in our church. Maybe a church member dies, or our church member family dies. No one from the church attends a funeral. Seen it a bunch of times. Ought not to be that way. We need to be there to support our brothers and sisters in their times of need. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. And if you don't care about them when they're going through a really, really hard time in their life, you know, there you are and your family member's passed away or whatever, and you look around at the people there, and there's nobody there from the church that you're faithful to, that don't speak very highly for your fellow church members. So, you know, that's one of the ways that we need to be teaching our children and showing them how to serve others. It's not just in those areas. We need to be showing them how to serve in the community and serving in the church in other ways, because the church is, unfortunately, it's getting to where there's a handful of people that winds up fulfilling all the responsibilities in church, because we're not serving others like the Bible teaches us to do. We need to be showing our children how to spend time studying God's Word. It's important to spend time in God's Word. If they don't ever see us in God's Word, then they think, well, it's not important, Mom and Daddy. I guess they're not important, you know, not something we need to concern ourselves with. So they won't be spending a lot of time in God's Word. They need to see us spending time in God's Word. They need to see us in prayer. We need to teach them about tithing. Say, oh man, there goes that preacher. He's begging for money again. I want to tell you something. This preacher don't beg for money. And if you don't ever give another nickel, it's not going to change the way I live, but it's going to change the way you live. The reason that I encourage you to tithe is because I believe what the Bible says. By the way, I practice tithing, and I'm a firm believer that 10%, as we consider a tithe, is a requirement. And if you really want to be blessed, you go on above that, beyond that. And I can promise you, if you do that because you want to do it and because you want to honor God, you will be blessed. How can I say that? Because the Bible says that. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through 10 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them." You ever seen a time when we've gone further away from God's ordinances, God's commandments? You know, we're going more our way and less His way. He said, "You've not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you see, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein or how have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Most of us want our children to be prosperous, don't we? We want them to have their needs met, don't we? But we don't teach them how to do that, you know? So, well, I teach mine to work hard. Well, yeah, you can work hard and you can make a lot of money. But if you don't use that money like God tells us to, then it's not gonna do you much good. Yeah. It'll go away. It'll be this comes up, that comes up. You know, you see a commercial on TV or something. I think it's like an oil field commercial or something. It's pay me now and pay me now or pay me later. You know, God's going to get His. Okay. God's going to get His. But you'll be a whole lot better if you will give Him His and allow Him to bless you for that. Say, "Preacher, get off the money thing." Okay. If you don't want to be blessed, then, you know, that's your choice. It's your choice. I can't make you tithe, but I can warn you and tell you that that's very clear to me when he says to bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and he says, try me, prove me, now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Another place he said, give and it'll be given to you, heaped up, pressed down, and running over, more than you can contain. We're to be givers, serving others. Too many times today, we got too many takers. Not just in the church, but everywhere. You know, everybody's got a handout. They're wanting. I want to tell you something. There again, what does the Bible say about that? It is more blessed to give than to receive. That's one of the hardest things for me to do. Had a professor at was BBI when I went there at the Florida Baptist College. He told me one time, or told all of us, you need to allow people to get a blessing sometimes. Sometimes people want to do something for you. And I know a lot of you don't want to receive. You don't want to be on the receiving end. You want to be on the giving end. But for that other person to get the blessing, you got to let them give sometimes. Can't always be the one getting blessed, being the giver. Somebody wants to bless you, let them bless you so they can be blessed. And so that's what the Bible says. More blessed to give than to receive. But sometimes we need to be the receiver so that somebody else can get the blessing of giving. But we don't need to get hung up on the receiving end so we're always got our hand out wanting to be the receiver. You know, that's not the way we get blessed. So we need to teach our children how to do these things. Basically, what I'm saying today is we need to live our lives serving Christ and obeying His Word. And that's the way we teach our children how to do the same. When we do it, when they see us do it, when we make them do it a lot of times. Because children are rebellious. Children are our responsibility. Fathers, they're our responsibility. You know, it's our responsibility to teach them the way they should go. Okay? So that don't mean, you know, I ask them their opinion on everything. Like, you want to go to church? You want to do this? You want to do that? You know? They get an allowance. I didn't know what that was when I was growing up. But now I know that, you know, a lot of people get something called an allowance or something. The kids get so much money. Teach them when they get their allowance. Teach them to take their tithe out of that and give that to the church. By the way, that's the tithe is the first that comes out, not the last. It's the first fruits, not the leftovers. So we need to show them how to witness to others. How do we do that? By witnessing to others, by telling others about Jesus, by loving people for Christ's sake and sharing the love of Jesus Christ with them. There's absolutely nothing you can give your children that will help them in this life and throughout eternity that's more important than a godly example you set before them. That is the best thing you can give your children. Don't just tell them what they need to do. Show them what they need to do. You know? the best way we can learn usually is by seeing it done and then by practicing it. I learned how to do a lot of things by watching my dad do it. Learned how to mechanic by watching my dad do it. Started out handing him wrenches, you know. I learned a whole lot about the wrenches, you know, what the different wrenches are called, what the different sizes. And then a little bit later on, I learned by actually turning some bolts and actually doing the mechanicking. I learned that first of all by watching him and second by practicing that. Learned a lot of things about living for Christ by watching godly parents and by watching other godly people in the church living that example of Christ-likeness and then following that example. Am I where I need to be? Not yet. He's still working on me. Remember that little song? He's still working on me. Make me what I ought to be. You know, God's still working on me. I ain't there yet. But I want to remain pliable so that He can use me and He can mold me into what He wants me to be. Fathers, we got a great responsibility. That's just a part of being a father, you know. Great responsibility. If you don't want responsibility, don't become a father, you know. Try to tell these young people that, you know, hey, you know, when you become a father, you got a responsibility, and it's not just for 18 years. It's a lifetime responsibility. So you need to think about that. And I'm not talking to any of us about that this morning because I think we're a little bit beyond that stage. But we need to teach our children and our grandchildren, you know, how to live that life. The greatest thing we can give them, the greatest gift we can give our children and grandchildren is a godly example. It will last them throughout eternity. So let's be faithful. Let's do what God's called us to do. Let's be faithful. They'll see us being faithful. And they'll learn. Sometimes it may take some of them a while to get it. Took me a while to get it. Okay? But when they see it, they'll remember it. They won't forget it. And when they see it, you've done your responsibility by being that person that has shown them by living that life and encouraging them to follow that example. Father, we love you and thank you. Thank you for all our fathers. Thank you for the awesome privilege of being a father. God, I just pray for all our fathers today, Lord, not only these here, but Lord, fathers across the world. Lord, as a whole, fathers have failed. Our children, our nation, most of all, Lord, failed you. Failed to be the example that you've called us to be. And I pray that you'd help us to seriously consider what it is that we're giving to our children and to our grandchildren today. Lord, help us to give them a godly example that they can follow. And that when they follow our example, they'll be following your commandments, your ordinances, and be living according to your word because that's what we're doing. That's the example we're setting for them. Help us, Lord, to teach our children by living according to God's word. We love you and thank you for it. Lord, pray for everyone here today. Lord, if there's somebody here that is not saved, someone here that's never trusted you as Savior, glad you've come Lord their life, I pray that today would be the day the Holy Spirit speak to them, deal with them, draw them to yourself. If there's one here that's trusted you, but they've allowed Satan to distract and discourage them, they're not where they ought to be in their life, in their relationship with you, I pray as the Spirit draws them that they will come to the realization that they need to recommit their life, to come back to that right place of relationship with you. Lord, again, I thank you for our fathers. I pray your blessings on every one of them that's here. That you bless us, that you would help us, Lord, to live that life, live that example that we need to be living, an example of Christ's likeness before all those, not only our children and grandchildren, but before everyone that sees our life, that it will be an encouragement to them to trust Jesus Christ. We thank you for all of it in Christ's name and for his sake. Stand with me for a moment. Song's playing. If you're here and God's spoken to you, there's something you need to take care of. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You need to do that today. Maybe you have and you've just slipped away and you're not living the life you ought to be living right now. You need to recommit your life. Maybe there are other needs, other things the Lord's